Chapter 3. From his being licensed to preach till he was commissioned as a missionary, July 30th to November 25th, 1742, July 30th, 1742. Rode from Danbury to Southbury, preached there from 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Had much of the comfortable presence of God in the exercise. I seemed to have power with God in prayer and power to get hold of the hearts of the people in preaching. August 12th, near Kent. This morning and last night I was exercised with sore inward trials. I had no power to pray, but seemed shut out from God. I had in a great measure lost my hopes of God sending me among the heathen afar off, and of seeing them flock home to Christ. I saw so much of my vileness that I wondered that God would let me live, and that people did not stone me, much more that they would ever hear me preach. It seemed as though I never could preach any more, yet about 9 or 10 o'clock the people came over, and I was forced to preach. And blessed be God, he gave me his presence and spirit in prayer and preaching, so that I was much assisted and spake with power from Job 14:14. Some Indians residing here cried out in great distress, and all appeared greatly concerned. After we had prayed and exhorted them to seek the Lord with constancy and hired an Englishwoman to keep a kind of school among them, we came away. Lord's Day, August 15th. Felt much comfort and devotedness to God this day. At night it was refreshing to get alone with God and pour out my soul. Oh, who can conceive of the sweetness of communion with the blessed God but those who have experience of it? Glory to God forever that I may taste heaven below. August 17th. Exceedingly depressed in spirit, it cuts and wounds my heart to think how much self-exaltation, spiritual pride, and warmth of temper I have formerly had intermingled with my endeavors to promote God's work. And sometimes I long to lie down at the feet of opposers and confess what a poor, imperfect creature I have been and still am. The Lord forgive me and make me for the future wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Afterward enjoyed considerable comfort and delight of soul. August 19th. This day, being about to go from Mr. Bellamy's at Bethlehem, where I had resided some time, I prayed with him and 2 or 3 other Christian friends. We gave ourselves to God with all our hearts, to be his forever. Eternity looked very near to me while I was praying. If I never should see these Christians again in this world, it seemed but a few moments before I should meet them in another world. August 23rd. Had a sweet season in secret prayer. The Lord drew near to my soul and filled me with peace and divine consolation. Oh, my soul tasted the sweetness of heaven, and was drawn out in prayer for the world that it might come home to Christ, had much comfort in the thoughts and hopes of the ingathering of the heathen, was greatly assisted in intercession for Christian friends. September 1st. Went to Judea to the ordination of Mr. Judd. Mr. Bellamy preached from Matthew 24, verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I felt very solemn, had my thoughts much on that time when our Lord will come, which refreshed my soul much, only I was afraid I should not be found faithful because I have so vile a heart. My thoughts were much in eternity, eternity where I love to dwell. Blessed be God for this solemn season. Rode home tonight with Mr. Bellamy, conversed with some friends till it was very late, and then retired to rest in a comfortable frame. September 4th. Much out of health, exceedingly depressed in my soul, and at awful distance from God. Toward night, spent some time in profitable thoughts on Romans 8, verse 2. Near night, had a very sweet season in prayer. God enabled me to wrestle ardently for the advancement of the Redeemer's kingdom, pleaded earnestly for my own dear brother John, who at length became his successor as a missionary to the Indians, that God would make him more of a pilgrim and stranger on the earth and fit him for singular serviceableness in the world, and my heart sweetly exulted in the Lord, in the thoughts of any distresses that might alight on him or on me in the advancement of Christ's kingdom. It was a sweet and comfortable hour unto my soul, while I was indulged with freedom to plead, not only for myself, but also for many other souls. September 16th. At night, enjoyed much of God in secret prayer. Felt an uncommon resignation to be and do what God pleased. Some days past I felt great perplexity on account of my past conduct. My bitterness and want of Christian kindness and love has been very distressing to my soul. The Lord forgive me my unchristian warmth and want of a spirit of meekness. October 21st. had a very deep sense of the vanity of the world most of the day, had little more regard to it than if I had been to go into eternity the next hour. Through divine goodness, I felt very serious and solemn. Oh, I love to live on the brink of eternity in my views and meditations. This gives me a sweet, awful, and reverential sense and apprehension of God and divine things, when I see myself, as it were, standing before the judgment seat of Christ. October 22nd. Uncommonly weaned from the world today, my soul delighted to be a stranger and pilgrim on the earth. I felt a disposition in me never to have anything to do with this world. The character given of some of the ancient people of God, in Hebrews 11 verse 13, was very pleasing to me. They confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth, by their daily practice, and oh, that I could always do so. Spent some time in a pleasant grove in prayer and meditation. Oh, it is sweet to be thus weaned from friends and from myself, and dead to the present world, that so I may live wholly to and upon the blessed God. Saw myself little, low and vile as I am in myself. In the afternoon preached at Bethlehem. Bethlehem, from Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. God help me to speak to the hearts of dear Christians. Blessed be the Lord for this season. I trust they and I shall rejoice on this account to all eternity. Dear Mr. Bellamy came in while I was making the first prayer, having returned home from a journey, and after meeting we walked away together, and spent the evening in sweetly conversing on divine things and praying together with tender love to each other, and retired to rest with our hearts in a serious spiritual frame. October 26th. At West Suffield. Was in great distress, under a sense of my own unworthiness. It seemed to me that I deserved rather to be driven out of the place than to have any body treat me with kindness or come to hear me preach. And verily my spirits were so depressed at this time, as at many others, that it was impossible I should treat immortal souls with faithfulness. I could not deal closely and faithfully with them. I felt so infinitely vile in myself. Oh, what dust and ashes I am to think of preaching the gospel to others. Indeed, I never can be faithful for one moment, but shall certainly daub with untempered mortar, if God do not grant me special help. In the evening I went to the meeting house, and it looked to me near as easy for one to rise out of the grave and preach as for me. However, God afforded me some life and power, both in prayer and sermon, and was pleased to lift me up and show me that he could enable me to preach. Oh, the wonderful goodness of God to so vile a sinner! Returned to my lodgings, and enjoyed some sweetness in prayer alone, and mourned that I could not live more to God. November 4th. At Lebanon. Saw much of my nothingness most of this day, but felt concerned that I had no more sense of my insufficiency and unworthiness. Oh, it is sweet lying in the dust. But it is distressing to feel in my soul that hell of corruption which still remains in me. In the afternoon had a sense of the sweetness of a strict, close, and constant devotedness to God, and my soul was comforted with his consolations. My soul felt a pleasing yet painful concern lest I should spend some moments without God. Oh, may I always live to God. In the evening I was visited by some friends, and spent the time in prayer, and such conversation as tended to our edification. It was a comfortable season to my soul. I felt an intense desire to spend every moment for God. God is unspeakably gracious to me continually. In times past he has given me inexpressible sweetness in the performance of duty. Frequently my soul has enjoyed much of God, but has been ready to say, Lord, it is good to be here, and so to indulge sloth, while I have lived on my enjoyments. But of late God has been pleased to keep my soul hungry, almost continually, so that I have been filled with a kind of pleasing pain. When I really enjoy God, I feel my desires of him the more insatiable, and my thirstings after holiness the more unquenchable. And the Lord will not allow me to feel as though I were fully supplied and satisfied, but keeps me still reaching forward. I feel barren and empty, as though I could not live without more of God. I feel ashamed and guilty before him. I see that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. I cannot live to God. Oh, for holiness! Oh, for more of God in my soul! Oh, this pleasing pain! It makes my soul press after God. The language of it is, then shall I be satisfied, when I awake in God's likeness. But never, never before. And consequently, I am engaged to press toward the mark, day by day. Oh, that I may feel this continual hunger, and not be retarded, but rather animated by every cluster from Canaan to reach forward in the narrow way for the full enjoyment and possession of the heavenly inheritance. Oh, that I may never loiter in my heavenly journey. Lord's Day, November 7th, at Millington. It seemed as if such an unholy wretch as I never could arrive at that blessedness, to be holy as God is holy. At noon I longed for sanctification and conformity to God. Oh, that is the all. The Lord help me to press after God forever. November 8th. Toward night, enjoyed much sweetness in secret prayer, so that my soul longed for an arrival in the heavenly country, the blessed paradise of God. Through divine goodness, I have scarce seen the day for 2 months, in which death has not looked so pleasant to me at one time or other of the day, that I could have rejoiced that it should be my last, notwithstanding my present inward trials and conflicts. I trust the Lord will finally make me a conqueror, and more than a conqueror, and that I shall be able to use that triumphant language, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? November 19th, at New Haven, received a letter from the Reverend Mr. Pemberton of New York, desiring me speedily to go down thither and consult in reference to the evangelizing of the Indians in those parts, and to meet certain gentlemen there who were entrusted with those affairs. My mind was instantly seized with concern, so I retired with 2 or 3 Christian friends and prayed, and indeed it was a sweet time with me. I was enabled to leave myself and all my concerns with God, and taking leave of friends I rode to Ripton, and was comforted in an opportunity to see and converse with dear Mr. Mills. November 24th, came to New York, felt still much concerned about the importance of my business, made many earnest requests to God for his help and direction, was confused with the noise and tumult of the city, enjoyed but little time alone with God, but my soul longed after him. November 25th. Spent much time in prayer and supplication, was examined in reference to my Christian experience, my acquaintance with divinity, and some other studies and my qualifications for the important work of evangelizing the heathen, and was made sensible of my great ignorance and unfitness for public service. I had the most abasing thoughts of myself. I felt that I was the worst wretch that ever lived. It pained my very heart that any body should show me any respect. Alas, methought how sadly they are deceived in me. How miserably would they be disappointed if they knew my inside. Oh, my heart! And in this depressed condition I was forced to go and preach to a considerable assembly, before some grave and learned ministers, but felt such a pressure from a sense of my vileness, ignorance, and unfitness to appear in public, that I was almost overcome with it. My soul was grieved for the congregation that they should sit there to hear such a dead dog as I preach. I thought myself infinitely indebted to the people and longed that God would reward them with the rewards of his grace. I spent much of the evening alone. A. Mr. Brainerd was examined by the correspondents in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania of the Society in Scotland for propagating Christian knowledge, to whom was committed the management of their affairs in those parts, and who were now met at New York.